Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the HB Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. Here with me, the beautiful boys, Phil.
Hello.
And Ben.
Greetings.
How are you all doing?
Very good.
Tonight.
Very good. Very
yes,
good.
Sir. Very good.
Very good, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You come dressed for the job. Appreciate it.
Dressed for a job.
Just for a job.
That's for sure.
Phil, you've been working a lot from what I hear.
Working a lot. Working hard. Yeah, I have been. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I feel you.
Doing good at my job, so that feels good. It's a lot of the word good, but it makes you want to work harder and
good,
put more into it.
Other than that, how are you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Summers get a little crazy.
How are you now?
How are you now? That's what I figured out. I'm good. Had a birthday in the last week.
Happy birthday.
Which was not fishing for that, but it was fun, you know. Yeah. So that was good. We went to the casino and did some stuff
there. Did you win anything?
So kind of, but not really. Chanel did. My wife ended up leaving with more than she went with.
Nice.
But we signed up for the VIP thing. So you get like 10 free dollars and then you get 10 free for your birthday. So we had $30 of house money that we played with.
Okay.
We blew through all that and then we each put like 20 bucks in a machine. And, I left with like $5 and she left with like 28 or something like that. So
not bad.
She ended up, I was up to 29. But then I got cocky and I thought that I could keep going. And then when you get below the amount that you put in, you want to keep going to try to get back up. And that's where they got you. So I came out a loser that time, but usually we break pretty even. We only spend a little bit, 20, 30 bucks at a time.
I was at the casino a couple weeks ago for a food show for my business.
Okay.
And it wasn't really a food show, but that's the best thing I can think of too. Mm-hmm. Analogy. And they gave us like $10 in slot credit. And I wasn't going to stay. And they gave us that. I was like, all right, I'll stay.
Yeah,
and then I ended up leaving with 30.
Nice.
So I spent their 10 and made 30.
Hot damn. Yeah. That's fantastic.
It was great.
Do either one of you play table games?
No. I will.
No. Chanel wants us to. But she thinks it's like the movies. And I'm like, this is not like the movies. Because I don't know what I'm doing. And in the movies, they know what they're doing.
Right.
So I don't know.
I've always wanted to play blackjack.
Yeah.
This is funny. When GTA did the casino, I checked it out.
Yeah.
I was playing blackjack. Yeah. And then it was like 45 minutes went by and I'm like, I'm playing blackjack in GTA for like the last hour.
Why Yakuza's not? Been doing that for years. I've played blackjack in Yakuza quite a few times.
Yeah.
There was a Sega Genesis casino game that was great.
It was on Super Nintendo too. Super Nintendo. That was a great game. I still have it. I bet you I still have it.
Here's what I do for blackjack. I will go and find the $5 tables if there are any open. A lot of times they like switch over around 6 o'clock. I'm talking like I'm a professional. I've been to the casino like four times in my life, but I'll go and maybe five. I don't know. And find those tables or the lowest tables because I refuse to spend $20 a hand on the game of blackjack.
In the slots, I bet like 15 cents at a time.
Right. And I only like, the only reason I like playing blackjack is because I at least partially know the rules and because I feel like there's a little bit of skill to it. Like, yeah, you still have the matter of what card you get that you can't control that, but at least you get to make the decision of whether you're hitting or staying or anything.
Right.
But the other day when I was there, the lowest table they had was $20. And let me take that back. They had one $5 table hidden in the back of the casino and there was a line behind it waiting for people to get out of the seats. So I didn't bother. But
so is that $5 bet per?
It's $5 per hand.
Wow. So the others are 20 per hand.
I think in my lifetime, I am up playing blackjack.
Nice.
But that's only because I've only played like maybe 20 hands total.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm up overall, but certainly not a, I'm not a gambler in general. But yeah. The other thing is I'm too cheap to actually lose much money. So yeah. If I lose like $20, I'm like, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we do. They're like, we actually go, they have the Friday night crab leg buffet.
Yeah.
So we kind of go for the dinner aspect of it. And then we just throw like $20 in a machine. And that's when the $20 is gone. That's it. I mean, it's what we would have spent at like a movie or something like that. So
right. How much does a VIP thing cost?
It's free. The VIP pass is free. And you get $10 your first time and $10 on your birthday. Now, the way it works is basically for every, I want to say it's every $10 that you spend, you get a point. And after you get above 500 points, then you go to silver and you get more perks and things like that. So like I was there throughout the night. I think I earned about 5 points.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, because you go up, you go down.
Right.
So I end up spending that much in points. But I think I figured out that I would have to spend like $5,000
right.
to get to that 500 or something. And
that's probably not a lot for some people.
No, no, not for some people. No. But yeah, if you do, I mean, we have friends that like they get comped like rooms and things like that. And but you got to spend the money. But the crab leg buffet is only like $30 and it's all you can eat crabs and prime rib and whatever else.
I've gone to that buffet, but it was not during good food time, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Mountaineer? Is that the one? We go to the Mountaineer.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the rivers.
The rivers. Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. Yeah.
Ben.
So we head down to.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
Just good.
We're just talking about gambling.
Yeah. Well, this brings a new level of gaming to our gaming podcast.
Yeah.
Well, it's two amateurs who don't like to lose money talking about gambling. It's not a real entertaining conversation.
No.
Yeah. I'm not big on gambling, I think. But I've also never really. I mean, last time I tried to gamble, I was poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now that I have a little bit of money, I'm almost like, why would I want to spend it on?
Yeah. For me, it's like it's like going to the arcade.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to spend a little bit of money to have some fun, but I certainly am not spending money in the thoughts that I'm going to be a millionaire.
Right. I gamble way more with trading cards. I mean, buying a box of trading cards is gambling.
Phil, that's not gambling. No,
it absolutely is.
No.
It absolutely is gambling. You buy a box of cards knowing that you're going to get an autograph in there and you might get, you know, some AAA baseball player down in Pawtucket.
You didn't listen to the show last week, did you?
No, I didn't. You guys talk about this?
I talked about it a lot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I told you I didn't get a chance to yet.
Yeah.
To. I'm still a couple weeks behind.
We shit on you last
week. We did.
Did you now?
Yeah. You might want to listen to that.
Wow.
So there you
go.
Okay.
It wasn't brutal.
Pitter patter.
Pitter patter.
What'd you talk about?
I talked about how in your article
about the one
that it's okay to like.
Yeah.
You were like, these games, you said Toy Story 3, X-Men Origins, and Cars are
great games.
Yeah, you said they were all well-reviewed. And that is true of everything but Cars.
That was
the Cars one was not well-reviewed.
Cars was well-reviewed.
No, from which one?
The first one.
No.
Was not?
I looked it up on OpenCritic.
Maybe it was Cars 2.
Not whatever Metacritic.
Maybe I meant Cars 2. One of the Cars.
I can't remember what else I said.
Because it's from the same. It's from Avalanche that made Toy Story 3. I'm gonna check the tape.
Oh yeah, Avalanche did make that Toy Story 3 game. I forgot about that. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. They did.
So, this is the HP Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast. PSFam.com. Thanks everybody for joining us. Hope you have a good time with us. And I want to start the show out, as we always do.
Start the show 15 minutes in.
With dreams and a shout out. Phil is furiously looking at his phone to make a very minor point, I'm guessing.
Yes.
About Avalanche Software and the reviews of Cars for Xbox 360.
Uh-huh.
Phil, you've got.
Which I still have.
You've got 10 seconds.
IGN gave it 7.2. I call that well reviewed.
Okay.
That's a good score. 7.2 is a good score.
Whatever you say. Ben.
Yeah.
Give me a dream and a shout out.
My problem right now is that my dream, the one thing I can think about right now, is something that is under embargo.
Embargo. Yep.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
So I guess I'll just say that video games in general are my dream right now.
Mm.
No, I'll take that back. I will take it back, bitch. I have a little bit of a dream about playing. This is not under embargo. About playing some more No Man's Sky.
Mm.
I think I mentioned on the show, or I don't know, Twitter or something, that I've never played No Man's Sky. Well, yesterday I hopped into the VR mode, and I had bought the game like during the state of play where they announced that it was going to have VR support. Like, it was still on, and I was near the mall, and I walked into GameStop and bought it for $10, and so I hopped into it. I really enjoyed it. I was thinking the entire time, I don't know what's going on. I can't stand this. And then I realized after I took the headset off, like, I want to play that some more.
Yeah.
So I will give a shout out or a dream. My dream is that I want to play some more No Man's Sky. I think I might like to play it outside of VR just to get a little bit of a bearing on what I'm actually doing before I go back in VR, because I'd never played it before. But that'd be fun. I don't know, because of the thing that is under embargo, although you're reviewing that, but I'm playing it because I want to. I think that I want to play a little bit more of that first, but I can see myself going back into No Man's Sky pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Philly?
Did you do both of yours?
No, my shout out.
Oh, sorry.
I think I'll give my shout out to, you know, people get laid off and everything all the time, every day. But in our industry, you could say our industry, the video game media industry, I'd give a shout out to the folks at Game Informer who lost their jobs today. Obviously, so far it doesn't seem like an abnormal situation. You know, they needed to lay some people off because of business model and stuff like that. But it always sucks when somebody loses their job, whether it's a good way to lose your job or a bad way, still stinks. So there's no good way to lose your job, but you know what I mean? Right. Like, even if it's done right and you get severance and everything else, it still sucks.
Right.
So just a shout out to those folks.
Cool. So I will start with my dream. My dream, as I usually do before the podcast, I stop down at the comic book store, pick up a few books. Marvel Comics has had not one but two big crossover events this year, which is pretty unheard of for them to have two good ones. They just started one called Absolute Carnage, and I just picked up the first couple in that. And, boy, the artwork looks beautiful. So that's what I'm dreaming of right now.
Who's drawing that one?
Oh, man, I have to look it up. I don't know. I was finishing up, picking up the last of my War of the Realms, and then wanted to jump into that. So I wasn't going to, because I am just finishing up one big crossover thing that's cost me way more than I thought it was going to when I got into it. But then just looking at the artwork, it looks awesome. So. Nice. Big shout out to them. I'm looking for, no, not a shout out, a dream. That's what I'm dreaming of.
Mm.
My shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to Jeff Keighley. I think he is underappreciated and undervalued a little bit in this industry.
Wow. Really?
I think he works very hard, does a lot of things. Every time you turn around, he's somewhere doing something. And I just appreciate what he does. I appreciate what he does at the Game Awards, what he does during E3, what he's doing during Gamescom, and I think he does some good work that people maybe don't appreciate enough.
I think he's had a turnaround as far as public perception.
I think so too.
He was viewed as like a corporate shill.
Yes. That's how I
viewed
him
for a while. And there's the meme with the Doritos.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's probably why he's not as appreciated as he should be.
Yeah.
You know how everybody keeps saying this is the year of Keanu Reeves?
Yes. Right.
First of all, I've loved Keanu Reeves. I think we all have for a long time.
Yeah, every year is pretty much the year.
But that's beside the point. Like, Jeff's getting a lot of attention in the last 5 years for the Game Awards and now for Gamescom and all that kind of stuff that he's been doing and been doing. But like, I remember 10 years ago, I did not like Jeff Keighley 10 years ago. I thought he was, like you said, a corporate shell, and the version of the Game Awards that was around back then, I thought
he was doing stuff with Joel McHale. So I was in.
Right. But I mean, fine.
He's not what he is today.
I didn't want to watch him. Yeah. If he was there, it was whatever.
I agree.
And now I'm like, wow, Jeff's actually pretty cool.
Yep. Yep.
At least he seems like it.
Yep. He's surrounding himself with people that I like, you know, like with Kyle and, you know, with Joel McHale still and stuff like that.
Do you know that? I guess he put $1 million in for the Game Awards.
Wow.
Of his own money.
That's crazy.
To get it started.
That's crazy.
So I'm guessing at this point that it's hopefully made him very wealthy at this point.
I would imagine that's at least broke even. Hopefully.
Yeah. The viewership's
was higher than the Oscars last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I mean, it's huge.
So
when are the Oscars going to go streaming?
Oh, hopefully never.
One of the Oscars is just going to stop.
I just like to be.
Just end them.
This is the second thing. You get one more strike today.
We don't need it. Oscars have been.
What would I complain about for the first like 6 months of the year?
I was going to say, all you do is complain about the Oscars.
I get so excited and then so disappointed so quickly. I mean, this year, it's Adam Driver's year.
Ooh, that's interesting.
He's coming for that Oscar. Yeah. And it's also Brad Pitt's year.
It's definitely, dude, it is Brad Pitt's
year. It is
twice.
Brad Pitt's year for supporting actor.
For what movie?
For Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, I didn't see that yet.
That's the biggest mistake you've ever made.
I need
in your
to
life.
Go see it.
It's yeah. very good.
Leo's got a good shot too, but from what I'm hearing about Adam Driver in this new Noah Baumbach movie,
ooh,
it man. Sounds like Adam Driver might be the front.
I'm gonna make an initiative to see it this weekend.
Yes, please do.
Do it as a break when I'm working on this review. Say, take the wifey yes. to see.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time.
Set aside
Hollywood.
3 hours.
Three hours. Yes. It's yeah. a long one. So, dude, Ben, your phone is.
My phone's freaking out. I don't know what was going on.
I was speaking in a very fast voice.
I think Siri was talking to me.
I was scared there fast. For a second. Siri got possessed.
I don't even know how that happened. It was like text. It was like screen to text or screen to speak or something.
Dang.
Text yeah. to speak. That's.
But that's my dream part two. Brad Pitt winning an Oscar. Ooh, finally, whoa. For acting. He already has his producing ones.
Yeah. But fair enough.
Yeah.
For me, I got my shout out, but I don't know if I have a good dream. I'll start with the shout out. Maybe the dream will come.
Okay.
My shout out is to the family band of the Furmans, Iron Maiden.
Oh, I thought you meant the Von Trapps.
No.
Okay.
I saw Iron Maiden for the second time this past, Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
They played at the PPG Paints Arena, and my dad helped me get a floor ticket for $75. Which was an insane deal. He
that
was
is
like
a good deal.
He was like messaging people on the Facebook groups and stuff like that. And it was just an overall incredible experience. They're still rocking. They're getting to be old dudes. But and Ben, you were there too.
Yeah, I think I paid $75 for my ticket and it was not on the floor.
Yeah. So it was just a good old time. Hmm. There was a little bit. So on the floor was an interesting experience. There's a little bit of people pushing around, moshing. But it was like the stupid kind of moshing. You know what I mean? Where just like people are pushing around and not like trying to do like cool hardcore moves. Maybe that's just my perspective.
Can you do so, hardcore moves to them?
I don't know.
There's people pushing around.
Okay. So I was in the I was up on the side a little bit.
Yeah.
And my vantage point of the floor was much different than yours.
Yeah.
I saw the little area around you kind of break out, and it was pretty tame. There was an area maybe 50 feet over from where you were that you couldn't see because of everybody in between, where people were like throwing each other down, and there were definitely fists flying, not in a friendly way.
Whoa.
Like, I've been in a lot of pits back in the day, and I've seen a lot more on you know, videos and stuff, where even if a pit gets a little out of control, everybody's still friendly.
Yeah.
Somebody in that pit was not happy and there was some bad stuff going on.
Yikes.
But other than that, the other ones I saw were kind of break out. There were probably five or six all around the floor area. It was just some little stupid pushing and, you know, goofing around. Good time.
I watched a video on YouTube of the show, like from a high vantage point. And I was like, wow, there were so many people on the floor.
Yeah.
And so many people behind me. It almost gave me like post claustrophobia. Like, I didn't realize the type of crowd that I was in at the time.
You know where the sound booth was like set up?
Yeah.
It was basically packed from the stage to there.
Wow.
And behind that was totally empty.
That's crazy.
But yeah.
So yeah, shout out to Iron Maiden. It was a very cool time. And I am dreaming of I want to talk about the thing I'm reviewing, but I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I have to have a dream, though.
You do. Part of the show.
I'm dreaming of the fall, actually. This is legit. I was thinking about this the other day. I was telling Holly. I was like, you know what? I like summer very much, but
I've decided I don't.
It's not about necessarily the temperature.
No, but I don't really care for summer. It's too busy, and everyone wants to do everything because it's nice out, and it's just there's too much going on.
I was thinking about how
I don't like summer.
In the fall, it's like a Friday night.
Pumpkin
it's
cool spice, outside. Bitches.
You know, you make some apple cider. Maybe you watch a movie. Something about fall is cozy.
Yeah.
And I like that about
I
it.
I
like
understand why you can't make apple cider in the summer or the winter.
You can.
It's not the same.
It's just.
It's not the same.
It's like when people tell me they can't drink stouts or eat soup in the summer. I'm like, who are you? Why?
And truthfully, the heat does bother me. Like, I get really just kind of obnoxious in the summer because the heat bothers me.
I can't wait. I've got some eczema on my arm, and it will go away once the pollen and everything is gone. So I am looking forward to it for that reason.
Yeah,
but I've never had that problem before this year.
Yeah. Plus, the movies are just better in the fall. And I mean, fuck, we wanted to go see a movie a couple weeks ago. We ended up seeing Dora. That's how bad it was.
Yikes. Are you serious?
I told Chanel, like, if we're going to see this movie. Now, granted, she admitted that it was much more kiddish than she thought it looked like from the trailer. I wouldn't even go up with her to the counter to order the tickets. I'm like, you're going up there.
But you knew what you were seeing before you left the house?
Well, we went to the driving range, and then we're like, let's stop and see a movie. And there was nothing playing. Like, nothing at all.
Well, nothing you hadn't seen.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's accurate.
There's a couple decent movies out right now.
Yes. Actually, which I wish we had a movie podcast, because I want to talk about Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
Start one. Currently, we don't have a gaming podcast.
Correct. All right, let's go. Let's
20
get
minutes in.
Yeah, I saw four movies in the last week, because after that, a lot of movies came out. Yeah.
Where do you find the time?
I took 3 days off for my birthday.
Holy cow.
And I went to the theater all 3 days, plus we saw Dora like a few days before that.
I just want the audience to know, earlier in this podcast, Phil talked about how much he was working, and then he just admitted he saw four movies and took three days off.
I took a little PTO time to go see some movies and enjoy my birthday. I saw Hobbs and Shaw, Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and something else.
In 30 seconds or less, tell me how Hobbs and Shaw really
Hobbs and Shaw was probably the most fun I've had outside of the Marvel Universe this summer.
That's what I was expecting.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
And so fun. I don't care at all about Fast and the Furious. I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie since 2. But I thought that those two together were super fun. The action was over the top. It wasn't about the cars. It was just about those two being crazy.
Right.
It was so much fun.
That's your time.
Yeah.
So let me say, if we keep talking about Hobbs and Shaw, I'm going to kill myself.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Let's talk about some video games.
All right. What do you got?
Lots of new game announcements.
I really played any of those.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lots of new games announcement because Gamescom in Germany is going on. It's supposed to be a lot of people there.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a lot more people than E3.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people there.
But
I feel like we should go to that next year instead of E3. Nah, let's go to Gamescom.
And, well, they have press days there.
Yeah.
Which would be a lot nicer than E3.
Yeah.
So here are some announcements. Jeff Keighley, who we talked about earlier, did the... he was in charge of this thing called Opening Night Live, which is just like a nice little presentation, showed off some games with some updates.
It's like 2 hours long.
So I'm going to go through some of the things announced. If you want to say something about it, great. If no one cares, then we'll move on. One of the big announcements, Kerbal Space Program 2, 2020.
That's a game.
I don't understand the appeal of this game because it just looks like minions in space.
Yep.
But...
have you played the first game?
I've never played it.
Me either.
Even at E3, they still had like big statues and stuff. I don't know. Like, yeah. People still care about this stuff. I don't...
Little Nightmares 2 coming out in 2020.
Good.
Did anyone play the first one?
I think I have the first one on PC. I just haven't played it yet.
Mm. Iron Harvest. I want to give a special shout out to September 1st, 2020.
We did get to check that out at E3.
Yep.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Well, me and Ben did.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't. I can't remember that.
That was a lot of
fun. That's because I wasn't there.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
I love the style of that game.
Yeah.
Looks very cool.
Yep.
That's a real-time strategy, right?
Yeah. What I didn't understand was I thought we were all playing against each other. So I thought I was winning. I thought I was beating everyone else, and we were not playing against each other.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing for
me. Wait, we weren't?
I don't think so. I don't think we were, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought we were.
No.
And I knew I was losing.
Something he said at the end, you were losing. Yeah. You were losing against nobody. And I also missed the mouse that we reviewed. I thought that would have been a great feature to have for that. I was trying to do things with that mouse, and the actual mouse wasn't working.
That's not until next fall, though.
Yeah,
that's a long way off.
Yeah, it's a long way off.
But I do know there'll be a couple testing phases in between here and there.
Right.
But, yeah.
We got a release date on The Witcher 3 for Switch. That's coming out October 15th. Digital Foundry did like a nice preview showing off. And it looks how you would expect The Witcher 3 to look on Switch.
Right.
But the fact that it looks like anything at all is impressive, I would say. Because I don't know, honestly, how they did it.
Is this a $60 game?
No. Well,
I don't know.
The thing is, there's so much development time that goes into a port like this.
Right.
It is the ultimate edition of the game. I would hope that it would be 40. I think 40 would be a fair price to ask for on Switch. But Again, this is one that I'm sure there's a market for it because they keep doing these huge AAA games on Switch. I would never want to play that like that in a million years.
Right.
I didn't want to play it on PS4.
Dang.
I just couldn't get into it.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
I might borrow it.
Okay.
This game looked particularly interesting. This game was announced a while ago and then kind of disappeared. And now, surprise, it's out. It's called Erica. And it's out on PS4 for $9.99.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of those like motion, like movie games. It's like a real motion, live action. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yep. And it kind of looks like Until Dawn almost, like you're making the choices of dialogue, stuff like that. Phil, this, when I saw this, I'm like, that looks like a Phil game.
It does look like a Phil game.
$9.99. And it's supposed to be very short.
Yep.
Like you can beat it in like 2 hours.
Yep. It's a very much a Phil game. Yeah. I will be checking that out. I'll be checking it out at some point.
So that looks cool. Nice little shadow drop.
Yeah.
Another cool announcement. Call of Duty has an open alpha this weekend on PS4.
Yep.
2v2. So, Phil, you got to check out a little bit of Modern Warfare at E3.
Yes.
Was that just a campaign preview?
Just a campaign preview. Yeah, there was no multiplayer shown there. But they have shown stuff since then. Which
yeah, they did that multiplayer reveal.
Yeah.
Did you check out any of that stuff?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Yeah. Looks good.
I think it looks awesome.
I think it does too. Very excited for it.
They have night maps now that you have to have night vision, stuff like that.
And then one of the missions that they showed was like in a house with night vision and stuff. Yeah. So it looked good.
Yeah. I'm really surprisingly excited for that game.
I am too. I've enjoyed the last couple Call of Duties, but I will say in the last 5 years or so that the Infinity Ward Call of Duties I've enjoyed the least.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see them kind of maybe return to form, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see.
I really liked what I played at Black Ops 4, and then I dropped it hard.
Oh, yeah. I did, too.
So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited about Modern Warfare.
Me, too. I would definitely get that.
And the last big thing of importance, there was many more announcements, but there was a big thing on Death Stranding. Mm-hmm. Kojima was there, and there was a trailer for Kojima before he came on stage.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But it was like a Kojima trailer of all the things Jeff Keighley's ever said about him.
Right.
It was weird.
Let's talk about this for a minute, Ben, because I think this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Jeff Keighley hyped up Kojima like, hey, everybody, Jesus is here to forgive all your sins and heal everything wrong with you.
Right.
Strand on your feet is literally what he said, which I was like, oh, seriously. And so he made everyone stand up. Then he played a trailer for Kojima to come out. I was like,
this will be the best pissing simulator in 2019. That's for sure.
How do you guys feel about this? Especially post Metal Gear Solid 5, the state of the Kojima, how we view or the industry views Kojima.
I don't know if Metal Gear Solid 5 has anything to do with it for me. I mean, like before or after that. Kojima to me, I mean, it's almost like, I don't know how to compare it. Like Corey Barlog's kind of getting approaching Kojima status.
Yeah.
Seems like. Mm. And I don't really have a problem with it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like if Kojima's next game or Corey Barlog's next game is utter trash, that's not going to make me like them more or less.
No, but I think they're both such good people.
Are they? I don't know.
That's not what I've heard.
They seem to be.
About
Kojima.
Yeah.
Hmm. He seems really nice. He seems super friendly.
I've heard through the grapevine that Kojima is extremely arrogant.
Oh.
And he is extremely hard to work for.
Okay.
And that people dream about working for Kojima their whole lives, and then they work for him and they leave.
Right.
Because they can't. It sounds like he's a very Steve Jobs esque figure. And well, then
everything I was going to say, I'm just going to take back. I was having a hard time.
We heard that from one person.
One person who works with him, has worked with him directly.
And one of my many hot takes is I've never enjoyed a Kojima game. They're not for me. Like the games that he makes, no. But I've always felt bad because he seems like such a nice guy. Like I've always felt bad not liking his product because I feel like I want to like it because of who he is. Now, Corey, on the other hand, this last game was a masterpiece. It's probably the best game this generation, maybe. I don't know. Spider-Man's really good too, but
it was definitely up there.
It's funny because you didn't say Bloodborne when you were just words came out of your mouth and you were said, you know, game of the generation.
What game? What?
Bloodborne. Blood, yeah.
Never heard
from
of it?
From Software?
No, I never.
Oh. Weird.
Never. No, no.
So odd.
Yeah. That must be the game that I just booted up and died 1,000 times and then I turned it off. No, definitely not Bloodborne.
But so do you. So, Phil, you're saying from a personal standpoint, you don't necessarily see it, but like,
no, I needed some gameplay to really sell me on this and it did the opposite. Like, this was what I needed to push me in the right direction. And it just solidified the fact that I'm not going to play this game. I have no interest. I don't know. I still don't know what I'm watching, but it just looks worse and worse every time I see it.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that, like, Kojima, obviously Metal Gear Solid 1, amazing for its time, did amazing things that no one else has done. It kind of ushered in this cinematic quality to gaming that had never been done before. Metal Gear Solid 2, I think, is weird because people, I think, look at that game with rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Because everyone hated that game when it came out. They were mad.
Shoot pigeons in that thing?
You can't shoot pigeons.
I think I played that. I hated it.
And then, of course, Metal Gear Solid 3, which I think is mostly viewed very favorably now.
Right.
And then 4, people... I feel like more commonly people don't like 4 than people do.
Right.
And then 5, of course, great, but... hampered by the whole Konami.
I have 3 situation. Copies of 5 and I've never played it.
What? Why?
I got it as a PS Plus game and Humble Bundle. And at one point I found it for $6 on Xbox. So that's the first copy I got. I'm right. Like, well, for $6, I'll buy it and check it out. And then I just never did.
Well,
yeah. So I just felt like it was a very odd thing. I just feel like the way that sometimes that people talk about Kojima is weird.
Also, no Norman Reedus dick. So I'm out.
No. Let's talk about the Death Stranding footage that we saw.
Just to wrap that up, I don't really have a strong preference about Kojima either way.
Yeah.
But I don't understand it, I guess is what I'll say.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Yeah.
So the Death Stranding, we saw 2 character introductions.
Is that Mama?
Talks about breastfeeding a ghost baby.
Yeah.
We saw the Del Toro thing, which was weird because it's not his voice, which I understand, but... And then the gameplay trailer. So what'd you guys think of the gameplay?
I think it looks boring.
Yeah, bland is what I was thinking.
But I also know that Kojima has never given anything to us on its face until it's out. Like, I don't know about never, but I'm thinking that there's some element there that we're not seeing yet that they have decided not to reveal yet, I think. So I don't know that one thing is going to change how I feel about the game, but so far it doesn't look. I mean, it's a game I might play in 6 months for $30.
Right.
I don't know if it's a day one buy for me. Actually, I should say I know it's not a day one buy for me. Based on everything we've seen so far,
I'm really confused by why they chose to even show that footage. Because unless they just are like, people eat whatever shit we put out.
I think that's because, part of it.
Okay, so he's sleeping there. He gets up. There's the pee mechanic. Haha.
Right.
And then it shows him like there's the waypoint. It shows him to start walking that direction. And they had to do a dip to black because it's like, you're just going to be walking.
Right.
From this point to this point. And then he uses the ladder. He talks to Jeff Keighley. And then there's the baby mechanic. And that was it.
Can we talk a little bit about the Jeff Keighley being in the game?
I'm expecting a lot of people like that to be in the game.
Me too. I am too. But Jeff Keighley specifically, I don't have a problem with.
Kojima's been at like all the Game Awards the last few years.
And, yeah, except for 2015, I think.
Yeah.
I have a question about I'm not questioning Jeff's integrity at all, but like if you're. Is there going to be any question of if Death Stranding is mediocre, but it wins something crazy at the Game Awards? Like, that's got to be in your head.
I don't know. Because he doesn't do the voting.
No, yeah, he's not part of that.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand. I'm just saying, is the public perception there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Public perception is usually wrong.
I agree. And I'm with you there. But, like, if it were me, I'd say, well, if this has the potential to win or not win... Then again, he did the stuff 2 years ago, it sounded like.
But almost at that point, too, like, with that logic, he could never be in anything. because you never know what's going to win or what's going to be good or what's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to give things up in order to make other things work. So
That's true. I don't argue with that.
I don't know.
I like to make a bold, this is not a bold prediction, but the singer of the band Churches will be in Death Stranding.
Huh.
Kojima, huge fan, tweets about listening to Churches all the time. The band visited him in Japan at the production studio. So
didn't Gaga visit him too?
Corey Barlog could be in the game too. Everyone that goes to Kojima Productions.
I think Gaga visited CD Projekt.
Okay. There's a band that just visited him, a band that's played here in our hometown.
Fallout Boy.
No.
POD. Because all of those are correct answers. Under Oath.
It's not from First to Last.
Strong Oath. For First to Last, played in Butler?
Yeah.
That's one I missed.
With Sonny? I can't remember.
Probably 50. Yeah. On Heroin, I think.
Wow, that's crazy. That was a great album.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The last good one.
So I'm thinking that there's going to be
the first album. Yeah. Or no, that was her second album. Yeah. That was her second album. Yeah, before he went and became Skrillex. I'm interested. A lot of good bands used to play here.
Anyway, I agree with you, Dustin. There's going to be a lot of people, but I don't. There's nothing there that is riveting. No. Now, if the reviews come out, or let's say we review it, or whatever, or we see some game changing thing between now and then sure. But like to me, I was thinking of this whenever you said about like they had to dip to black because it was such a long way in between.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of my really only problem with Rage. In that I was having a lot of fun in the bases and when I was destroying stuff, but everything in between bases was like the most boring pieces I've ever had of any gameplay. And I feel like there's a lot of that in Death Stranding, probably based on what we've seen.
If I feel like it's just walking, everything we see is walking.
We've seen some combat gameplay though.
Yeah.
Very little.
We saw Norman Reedus dodging some motorcycles.
Are they obscuring the fact that it's like, hey, this game's actually a lot like Metal Gear Solid 5, but we don't want you to know that yet?
Maybe, but also Kojima said it's a new genre of game.
Yeah, new genre of game. I don't buy that.
I don't either.
So any other final thoughts about Death Stranding?
Nope. I'm hoping to be wrong.
I mean, I'm so curious about it. I will check it out day one.
Yeah.
Even if it's bad.
Right.
Like if the reviews come out and it's bad, I will probably still play it.
Even if it gets tens, I probably won't play it.
Really?
Yeah.
It depends on what the tens say.
Yeah. For me, this
game was
made
for Phil Nyman is what every review says. And you're like, nope.
It literally is just story for Phil.
All right. Well, okay.
So Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct about indies. So I highlighted some of the ones that there's a bunch of new titles.
Oh,
of course.
So we're not starting with Earth Knight then.
I have Earth Knight on there. So we can talk about some of these. Risk of Rain 2 coming to Switch. Mm-hmm. This game was weird because when it was announced, I was like, oh, OK. But it's picked up a pretty big following. Yeah. Have either one of you checked this out?
No,
I haven't checked it. I mean, I've seen just the stuff that's been in the.
Yeah.
In the announcements.
Torchlight 2. Which has been on PC forever,
right.
Is now coming to consoles, and that includes Switch, which is pretty cool.
I had a what's it called, Mandela effect kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was like, Torchlight 2. I am positive that game is already out, and I looked for like Torchlight 2 Switch all over, and I'm like, I can't find. And then all the except for the new articles about it, and then I'm like, oh wait, it was on PC.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into Torchlight.
I didn't care for it.
I just thought I'd rather play Diablo.
Right. I thought it was fine, but it wasn't my thing.
Super Hot is now going to be on literally every. It's the new Doom. It's going to be on everything here on forward. It's now out on Switch, but it's okay because it's great.
The one thing I'm curious about that I think I might check it out for is the motion controls on the Switch.
They're doing motion controls.
I thought it had some sort of like movement with the gyroscope in it.
I didn't know that.
I might be totally wrong, but I thought I saw that on the list of features.
Makes sense.
Earth Knight is confirmed for Switch. So that's been a long time coming. This one's an interesting one because Brandon and I's first PSX, Brandon was like, I just checked out this game called Earth Knight. And so every single event that we go to, I'm like, hey Brandon, there's Earth Knight. And so it's been, we've joked about that, but it's been in production for a long time. It looks like a neat game.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
This year at E3, the PR people reached out and were wanting us to see it. And I'm like, here are four articles we've done on it in the last couple of years. And we've checked it out at every show.
We cannot do it.
We just can't make the time for it. I'm sorry. He goes, it's fine. You'll hear something very soon.
Yeah.
So he was right.
Oh, yeah, did they say it's coming out this year?
I didn't see.
I meant to put a date here and I didn't. Here's an exciting one. Hotline Miami.
Woo! That's exciting.
Collection.
Did you see Devolver's tweet?
No, I didn't.
Where they said that, Miyamoto or someone said it would never be on the Switch because he doesn't like the music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was funny. That's exciting because I've never played 2. I'm excited. Really? I've never played 2.
I don't think it's as good as the first one.
Damn it.
But
I played them back to back because I didn't play Hotline Miami when it came out. I played it on the Vita years later.
Okay.
Or maybe a year later. I don't remember. And I played it, and then very shortly thereafter played 2. And at the end, by the end of 2, I was just burnt out, but it was because I played them both back to back.
Yeah,
I played Hotline Miami on Vita, and I was getting my ass kicked, as you do in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cross-saved it over to my PS4,
yeah,
and I became way better at it. Because the little nubbies on the Vita, very hard to use.
Yeah. I remember it hurting my hands.
I wonder if it will be hard on Nintendo Switch because of the smaller joysticks as well.
They're a little bigger.
A little bigger.
But yeah.
So this is exciting. It's a classic game at this point. A classic indie game.
Here's the really interesting. I wonder who they had do that.
Yeah.
Because word on the street is that the devs are so incredibly over Hotline Miami. Like, they don't ever want to make anything anywhere near like it. They're working on a new game, but they don't want to make anything near like it or even talk about it ever again. So I'm really curious if they did the port or they paid someone to do it. Yeah. Either way, it's going to make money.
Lots of money. Yep.
For sure.
This indie game that I thought looked kind of cool, Blasphemous, is coming to Switch. This is another one of those 2D Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
I feel like none of them have ever really quite...
Salt and Sanctuary was...
Salt and Sanctuary is the closest, I think, that anyone's ever gotten.
Yeah.
There was a game that we checked out that there's a video on our YouTube channel that was a 2D Dark Souls-esque game that I've forgotten the name of. Not that great.
I remember what game you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I can't say the name of it.
And there was one that came out on the Annapurna PS4.
One. What was the Annapurna one?
Oh, Ashen.
It wasn't 2D.
People
wasn't
liked 2D, Ashen, though.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be pretty good. Wasn't
2D.
There's so many of these now. It's hard to – I can't remember the name. There's one on PS4 that I was looking forward to. Came out, reviewed terribly. Cool aesthetic. So maybe Blasphemous will be able to pull it off. Maybe not.
Hopefully. Salt and Sanctuary was good. I don't even like that type of game, but I really got into it.
This game, I can't remember exactly if I'm remembering this right. It's called Close to the Sun. Was this the game that you guys checked out at PAX that you told me to check out?
I don't recall.
Okay. Close to the Sun, I was hoping that you would remember it, but I might have my games mixed up here.
I don't think so.
I've never heard of
it. At least I didn't check it out.
This was a game on PC. I don't even remember how to describe it. Close to the Sun is like sort of steampunky stuff. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't check it out.
Last but not least, Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Coming to Switch to nobody's surprise. Did either one of you play Ori?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
I played it for a little bit and I ended up dropping it pretty hard, so I'm probably not going to check it out on Switch. But
fine. And it reminded me of like Rayman Legends or something.
I've never looked or heard of Close to the Sun.
Okay. It's more interesting still about Microsoft's initiative of putting stuff on more systems, so I'm sure we'll see more from them in the future.
Right.
Here's my question: are they bold enough to like put Halo on Switch? OG, like, imagine if it was like Halo, not the Master Chief Collection, but if they did like,
I was gonna say, Halo, they had a hard enough time putting Halo on the Xbox.
Yeah. Dude.
Wasn't going well.
I feel like Halo on Switch would be cool.
Yeah, it would be super cool.
Would it be?
I mean, he's already in, the fucking game where you make stuff, Minecraft.
Master imagine Chief. A LAN party of Switches playing Halo.
That's some of my best LAN parties in this house.
Would it be a LAN party, though?
It'd be a Wi-Fi party.
Wi-Fi party. It would be a form of a LAN party.
Right.
Okay. So that's it for the Gamescom news. I mean, I'm sure there was other stuff, too.
Yeah,
that was just the thing for those two big events. Something else really big happened. This was during the Gamescom stuff.
Which is a weird time to announce it.
Yes. Insomniac Games has been purchased by PlayStation. It's now a first-party studio.
I bet a lot of people already thought that happened.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I know a lot of people thought it was.
Other than Sunset Overdrive, I can't think of a game outside of PlayStation. And
it's Fuse.
Ah, the Fuse. One with EA. That was multi. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That came out at a weird time with the Fuses and the Hazes and the all the other games.
So what do you guys think about this? Sony locking shit down, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think they're a good studio and have a lot of promise. And obviously, they're, you know, many of their previous games have gone over very well. I don't see how it's a bad move unless they overpaid, which I'm not sure what dollar amount overpaid would be at this point.
You have to imagine that, like, even just from Spider-Man, seeing how well that did, that price was high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
these types of things, I mean, we're in a different place than a lot of people. Like, we have everything. We can play any game, you know? So
right.
It doesn't really matter to me who owns what. As long as the game comes out and it's good, we can play it.
But a studio being owned by a publisher, you know, by Sony or Microsoft or something, generally means they're going to get the resources they need to make a game good.
This is true.
That's the exciting part for me. And Sony has not really skimped on their first party games. I mean, even a game like Dreams, which I'm not sure where Dreams is going.
Right.
They gave them as much rope as they needed. It seemed like you know, as many years as they needed to get it to where it is now.
Right.
And by all accounts, everybody likes it. Yeah. It's not a game that I want to play, but
I think on some of the smaller devs for sure. A company like Insomniac, I don't know if their games all seem to have pretty high production. So I think
I think they were getting that funding from someone still.
Probably.
This just adds to that.
Yeah.
So an interesting part about this acquisition is that the IP that comes with it, of course, Ratchet & Clank, which I think Sony already owned Ratchet & Clank. That wasn't something that Insomniac owned.
Right. I think you're right.
But Sunset Overdrive is something that Sony now owns. But
so Insomniac owned that?
So Insomniac owned it, but Microsoft
not the publishing rights, though.
Owned the publishing rights on console for that game. So it's unlikely, unless they work out some kind of deal, that we're going to see Sunset Overdrive on PS4. I mean, it's possible.
I don't know why we wouldn't, honestly, because at this point, what does Microsoft have to gain from only retaining it? So why not sell it?
Yeah.
You know.
But
it's a fun game.
Here's something that I think a lot of people forget about with Insomniac, too.
Oh, no.
A slew of Oculus titles.
Oh,
yep.
They're supposed to be very good.
Thought you were going to say Resistance.
Oh, and Resistance, of course.
I want some Resistance.
Everyone always talks about Resistance. I've never played them. Are they super good?
Fine. Like, I mean, I like them, but they're nothing spectacular.
I remember the first one playing a little bit of that and thinking it was pretty bad.
Hmm.
But it was also a launch title, so
I don't think it was bad, but it certainly didn't like change my life.
Yeah. So I'd be curious. I'm surprised, honestly, they haven't been like, here's
just a six-axis controller.
Oh,
it was weighing you down, probably.
Mm.
I don't know. I like them.
So I think we can expect, obviously, new Spider-Man, new Ratchet and Clank.
I think we were expecting both of those before this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, though, if Sony will put them to like a VR game, since they have their a competent VR studio. The games they did for Oculus are supposed to be very good. I feel like it's not called Edge of Tomorrow, because that's that Tom Cruise movie.
Right. Yeah.
But it's called Edge of Nowhere.
Okay.
Is the Oculus.
Yeah. Is that the robot one?
Yeah, there's another one they did too.
Something, yeah.
But so I think that'd be cool to see them do VR. Any other hopes for this now that this partnership is locked down?
Just pretty much all that. More Spider-Man, more.
I see them having the capital now to do a new IP that would be a good IP.
That's the thing you have to imagine, that with a studio like Insomniac, to do a new IP is dangerous.
Right.
Because if you fuck it up, then you don't have anything to fall back on.
Right.
Which Sunset Overdrive, I guess, was a new IP for them, but they had the funding of Xbox. So
maybe like a new Maximum Carnage.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
This is interesting, too, that this happened just because we've had so many rumors about Sony buying Remedy.
Right. Yeah.
So do you guys think this is it? Do you think we're going to see some more acquisitions before? Because before this, Sony had not bought a studio in 8 years.
Right.
Wow.
I think we'll see more acquisitions. I don't know if there'll be a 1-2 punch or anything.
I think this is a better choice for them than Remedy.
Well, yeah. But that doesn't mean that Remedy's out.
Right.
I think you could potentially see something like Remedy. I think there are a lot of ones out there that make sense. But the thing I think they need to focus on if they want to buy another studio is they don't have their own first-person shooter right now. And they don't have their own first-person, or not first-person, they don't have their own racing.
Yeah, they do.
What?
Polyphony.
Oh, that's true. See?
Yeah.
They need a better one.
Well, yeah, because Polyphony, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's funny when you look at Forza releasing every other year, and
right.
Polyphony cannot keep up
right.
in any sense. But I'm not as
I'm not tuned
technically
into the
minded about them. So
yeah. Killzone's probably dead, I'd imagine, with Horizon doing so well.
Yeah,
maybe. But they need basically they I don't know if, you know,
do they? That's the thing, though, is do they need a first person shooter?
I don't know if they need it. They're definitely doing fine just by getting the marketing rights and everything for Destiny. Which we've seen in studies does affect the player's choice of where they play it based on what title or what platform they see underneath it during the Super Bowl, you know,
right. Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I don't know if they need it, but if they're going to pick up another studio, they need to pick up a studio that doesn't do what they're already doing with their other studios.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I would love to see them buy a Japanese
yeah.
developer. I don't know whether that would be like some kind of JRPG or something like that, but even though I don't, from a consumer side, I don't want this, I think it would be amazing if they bought From Software.
I mentioned, I commented on, Colin put up a thing, a mm-hmm. post, and said, who do you think they should buy next? And I mentioned that in there.
I don't think they will.
I don't know that I want that, but that I think that's probably a good monetary choice.
They could have easily bought From Software when they partnered with them to make Dark Souls,
right.
I bet. Or Demon's Souls, excuse me. But then, yeah, I'm guessing that they don't have an interest in being bought because I'm sure that every publisher is on the phone trying to get a deal to make a game.
Right.
They're
obviously doing fine by themselves.
Right.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
But yeah, I'm sure that we'll see some more studios purchased as PS5 news starts to roll in. Okay. Halo Infinite's creative director, which I forgot to write his name down here, he directed Halo 4, Halo 5, has left 343 in what seems to be, you know, kind of the last stretch on Halo Infinite. So do you guys think this spells trouble for the game?
I don't think so. I don't think not either, but...
Oh, we see nothing about the game, so I don't know.
Yeah.
We're probably at a point in the development, and I can't say for sure where it is because we don't know exactly when that's coming out. We know it's a launch title, but they're probably past the point of the creative director being needed. I have a feeling they're probably into bug squashing at this point.
Yeah. You got to wonder, either two things are happening, I think, with Halo Infinite specifically, is that either they are having a hellish development cycle, or it was taking a while, and then they were like, you know what, let's just hold it.
Right.
And so now they've had ample time. Maybe the game is like, I don't want to say near complete.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like they had enough time, and so they're just like, you know, finalize, you know, just keep refining, refining, refining.
You have to imagine that if they've known or at least hoped it would be a launch title, that some of their development time frame has been based on that. So if they, you know, there were rumors about Xbox launching late this year, 2 years ago. So it's entirely possible that they were ahead of schedule
right.
on the development. I mean, this is all, you know, speculating, but.
All right. Persona 5 Royale is coming to the West spring 2020. Finally got that confirmation. Of course, it is coming out in Japan this year. But as Atlus and Sega does, they push back. You know, they do the localization not simultaneously, right, but after. Mm-hmm. So this is will be coming out significantly later. But I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
Ben, is this going to be your time to jump in to Persona in spring 2020?
Probably not. It's not that I don't want to. Like, yeah. Many times when I see people talk about Persona, I want to at least experience it. But I just don't have 80 to 100 hours in a game that I'm not thrilled about.
Right.
So that's my only thing.
I even loved the game and I didn't have 80 to 100 hours. Yeah. I put like a normal amount of time into it. I think 30, 40 hours.
And yeah.
People saying it took them 115. I was at 80 and I left my game run a couple times. Yeah. Like,
I think it depends on what kind of player you are and everything too. For me, like, Persona is not something that on its face looks like it would be a goatee for me. It doesn't look not enjoyable. It's just not like my main idea of fun. Right. But so I'd much rather go and play something I never played, like The Witcher.
Yeah.
If I'm going to spend that much time. So it's not necessarily that I don't have that amount of time, because you can put that amount of time over however long you want. It's just that I'd rather divert it towards something I have a feeling I'm going to love.
Sure. That makes sense. Phil, this one's for you.
All right.
Yakuza.
Yes.
3 through 5.
Yeah.
Coming to PS4.
Yeah, you told me about that earlier today. I missed that.
As of today.
It's fantastic.
Right now. Shadow Drop. Out. Yakuza 3.
It's fantastic.
Out on PS4.
Is it digital only, I imagine?
I think it's digital only for now. Yeah. They are doing a collection when
3, 4, and 5.
3, 4, and 5 later in the year, because they're staggering the releases out.
Sons of bitches.
So you have to decide what you want to do. Though, here's what you should do. Buy them digitally now if you want to play them now.
Right.
Yakuza games get dirt cheap very fast.
Yeah,
that is true.
So you could just, when the collection comes out, wait a little bit and then
I think that's why I started playing them. I got Kiwami for like $8.
Yeah.
And figured I'd start it.
So I'm guessing you're going to be diving in.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah. I'm going to probably download it tomorrow.
Now, I should have done more research, but it seems like these aren't like the Kiwami experience. These are just like more like Yakuza Zero, that it's just like, okay, it's higher resolution, higher frame rate than, because Yakuza 3 was a PS3 game, right?
I really don't know. Really don't know. I started with Yakuza about 2 years ago, so I don't actually know.
Yeah, because I think those are PS3 games, and so they're just kind of moving them over. Yeah, Yakuza 3 is a PS3 game, It's not like the PS2 that needs like a lot of work done to it. It can just kind of, you know, get up-resed and be pretty much good to go.
But I am excited to play. Playing through Judgment, like, I really enjoyed my time with that, but I miss the old characters, so I'm excited to spend some more time with them.
Game Pass. A couple new announcements here that I thought were pretty cool. What's that?
I didn't catch this.
Oh.
Whatever it is.
Age of Empires Definitive Edition is out now.
Ooh.
And Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition is coming out pretty soon. I think in like November. All right, Phil, you know what? I didn't snore when I was hearing you fucking talk about your three different movies. Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw was awesome. Four movies in like 7 days. Like
Devil May Cry 5.
It's on Game Pass? Finally.
On console. Thank goodness. Game Pass
only. Seriously?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's great.
Maybe it's not instantly.
Whatever, just get Ultimate and you can play it.
Dude.
One way or another.
Yeah.
I think I have Ultimate. But I can't figure out how to sign onto the computer.
Well, it's not on the PC one.
It's your password.
It's a Xbox.
Use your username and password, okay. Phil.
It's something. It kept erroring, and like, I don't know, it was a mess.
This is one of the best games of the year, so play it.
Yeah, I want to play.
Especially if you have Game Pass, just do it because it's awesome.
I think I do. I don't know how long it's good for.
That's tempting for me.
Kingdom Come Deliverance is coming to Game Pass, as well as Blair Witch Project, which is coming out this month.
And that's going to be day and date, like day one on Game Pass?
Yep.
Like August?
Hot damn.
Yeah, it's coming out in August.
Wow.
That's the best news I've heard today.
Yep.
Because I really want to play Blair Witch, but I don't know if I want to pay for Blair Witch.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you would technically be paying for it.
But I don't think I am, because I think I did the thing where like I got a bunch of free stuff and then I extended it out, and for like no money at all, I got the Game Pass.
Wow.
Because like if you had for $1, I bought my game, the Xbox Live, for like 12 months.
Uh-huh.
And then for $1, I could add the Game Pass Ultimate, and it extended it for the whole length of your.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I think for $1, I got like At least about a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that Devil May Cry 5 is quite yet. But yeah, Blair Witch.
Dang, that's awesome.
Let's see the pre-purchase on Steam. So that's actually a $30 game. August 30th.
Sweet.
So,
oh, man, there's like three games that come out that day.
Pretty dang soon. Okay. I've got one last one, and then we're just going to skip this thing at the end because we're going long. It's not exciting. Ray tracing. Everyone loves ray tracing. Coming to Minecraft. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
So I'm only mentioning this because last week we talked about the Super Duper graphics pack getting canceled.
Right.
But then today at this yesterday at this NVIDIA thing, they announced they're doing this big ray tracing pack for Minecraft, which looks awesome.
Really?
It looks sort of like the Super Duper graphics, whatever, mm-hmm. but it's PC only, and it has like awesome lighting and reflections.
Who is still playing this game?
A lot of people, dude.
That's crazy.
More than ever, probably.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they've actually figured out how to make money on it. So,
man.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how to make money.
Did you ever play Minecraft?
Yeah, it's terrible. I don't like to build things. Like, I don't care. I don't want to.
I don't have an imagination.
Phil on Minecraft. Yeah, it's terrible.
I played video games. I was terrible, but like.
Oh, you said it's terrible.
It's terrible. I just have no interest in it.
Yikes.
Our interests could not be more different in some areas and more similar in others.
When I play video games, that is my escape. Like, give me the game. Don't make me build the game to escape into.
Oh, dude, I used to sit and play Minecraft for like 6 hours at a time and not even realize what I'd been doing.
Wow.
I don't know what it's like now.
My first experience in Minecraft, I mean, I was in my friend's house and he sits me down and says, I want to show you something. I sit down. He's like, look, it's my house. And he gives me a tour of his house on the video game. Uh-huh. Of the house that I'm sitting in. And I'm like, well, I can see that by just like walking into the next room.
Right.
And it's not for me. That's why I don't play Mario Builder or whatever that game's called.
Mario Maker.
Either. Oh. Yeah.
I knew that crafting existed before Minecraft.
Yeah.
In a different way. But I remember when Minecraft came out in alpha and it was starting to pick up steam. There were articles all over the place, probably including my own website at the time. I didn't write it, but of people describing their first like night in the game or whatever and going through the process of like, and then you have to do this to make this. And this is like just, you know, totally abstract concepts to everybody. And I was like, this is bizarre. I've got to check it out.
So I couldn't care less about dreams either. I don't want to make stuff.
That's all I got for the show.
Wow.
And we're done. And we've gone. 1 hour.
1 hour.
So.
1 American hour.
Flew by.
Sorry, Canada.
And now we're going to record a Let's Play.
Ah.
Is this an embargo?
Let's just pretend like it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, there will be a Let's Play coming out.
Next week.
Sometime. Next week.
Yeah.
So this will be fun. So
I think it is, but I'm not going to look it up right now.
Yeah. Fair enough. But thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you. Make sure to leave us a rating and review. That helps us out a lot. Visit us on handsomephantom.com. Especially... come on Monday to check out the review of the game that I'm reviewing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big one. So make sure you're there. Join our Discord, handsomephantom.com/Discord, to hang out and talk to us. And use our affiliate link, handsomephantom.com/Amazon. Buy whatever you do on Amazon. You can buy the 50-gallon thing of lube or whatever, you know.
Whatever you're into.
Whatever you're into.
Funny story. My sister-in-law was expecting an Amazon package and she brought in the house, opened it, and it was a bunch of lube. Oh. And it was for the neighbor. It was the wrong nice. House. So
how do you give that?
I don't know.
Trying to seal it up as if you didn't open it.
I know this thing had your name on it and I accidentally opened it.
Her husband said lube. Just to seal it up and then like at night just go over and put it like on the porch and then just leave.
Although they're probably calling Amazon. Somebody stole my lube. Somebody stole my lube.
Yep.
Sorry, we'll send you a replacement.
They're good at that too. They will.
Yeah.
If you just call them and say I didn't get it, and they're like, okay, here's some more.
Small thing before the end of the podcast. I returned a motherboard on B&H because the motherboard was broken.
Yeah.
And they returned it. They accepted the return.
Yeah.
But they made me pay to ship it back.
That's pretty common.
That'll happen.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It's like you sent me the thing that's broken.
Yeah.
You should make MSI pay for the broken motherboard, the shipping.
Right. Yeah, you paid to get it shipped to yourself, and then you had to pay to ship it back.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was annoying. So that's $15 I'll never get back, thanks to MSI.
Jeff Bezos.
But at least you got to send it back, period.
That's true.
Because I've had many of those where I didn't get to send them back.
True.
Yep.
All right.
Cool.
That's it. So thanks everybody again.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.